That was beautiful singing.
Amen. Amen.
Great to be in the house of the Lord already. You know, sometimes, and I want to say this, I've got more on my heart than I can deliver this morning, so I need your prayers. I don't mean to preach long or short. I just try to follow God.
And, I got studying this, and I realize there's more here than I'll be able to do anything with. But I want to give you a thought as I was sitting over here. Sometimes we get to dealing with all the things of life, all the stresses of life, you know, all the challenges, even the challenges sometimes of trying to do the right thing, you know, getting busy in church, trying to help people, trying to do things for God. Don't forget to worship. Don't forget your personal relationship with God. You know, I tell you, I was having just a normal week, I guess you could say, between all the things that were going on. And sometimes the truth is the pressures of life begin to get heavy.
Amen.
They're heavy on us because of what we deal with. They're heavy because of circumstances, problems, troubles, challenges, traffic, co-workers, neighbors, in-laws, outlaws, you name it. And I come in and Kendra had a song playing and I'd never heard it before. And she started playing this song. God just broke me. He just spoke to me. And here's what he said. He said, don't forget just to worship. So you think about that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you, Brother Mathis. We've been missing you, brother.
Amen.
Good to see you, Miss Tina.
Amen.
You know, Brother Ted had surgery 2 weeks ago, and he was going to try to be here. Y'all remember Brother Ted, but it takes a little bit longer to get over this. So Brother Cecil's been through it. We've had quite a few people going through a lot of things lately. We need to pray for one another, lift one another up, bear one another's burdens. You know, just because everything's all right at your house don't mean it's all right at everybody's house. And if you hadn't been in a storm lately and you're trying to serve God, get ready. You got one coming. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they're going through a building program at his church, and he said he went and talked to the pastor, and he said, you know, trying to do things. He said, just get ready. If you're serving God, and it's like here at Hiram First Baptist Church. We're seeing people saved. We're seeing people's lives get impacted by the power of God. You can expect to have warfare.
Yes.
Expect it. Okay? We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. We're going to be reading from 1 Kings. But before we do, I want to say thank you to the church again. I want to say thank you for all the hard work. It's so great to be able to see a church come together like an army, which we are the army of the Lord, and do the things that this church has been able to do. And it happens because people work together. So thank you to everyone for doing, you know, what you've done as far as serving the church, Sunday school, the deacons, all this went on during this past year. And I tell you, the way the church pulls this wild game banquet off is amazing. And Brother Chad, we really appreciate the work that you've done. Amen.
Amen.
Did a great job. Real blessing, and we appreciate that. And, you know, I enjoyed that fried fish so good. I just wish we could do it about every other week. I do, but I know we can't do that. But I really appreciate what you've done. I want to say also thank you for your giving to the church. You know, we don't pass the offering plate much anymore. I think we've only done it one time in about 14 months, and we did that for the missionary. But, you know, God has shown up and showed out here so many times. Don't take it for granted, as Brother Allen's already mentioned, that you got a church. You know that there are people that just take it for granted that the church is always going to be here. You know, it'll be there when I need it, and I'll go when I get ready to go, when I ain't got nothing else to do. Can I tell you, this is the time, today is the day, that if you're saved by the grace of God, you need to be supporting the church. Okay, now financial's one thing. I don't preach about money much. I think I surprised them when I come. They wanted me to a little more. You know, I kind of got some of that. But you know, to tell you what, you are free in this country to worship God. Don't take for granted that there'll never be chains put on these doors out here. Come and worship God. Personal relationship with the living God. A lot of churches went out of business. They closed in the past year. I want to say thank you, church, for your continued giving. You know, you can give by going online, giving through PayPal. We've got that on the website. You can send to the P.O. box. And it's got to the point that we actually get more offerings to the church online than we do in cash or check. And I was talking to somebody recently, and I said something about a check, and the girl just kind of snickered, and she said, "I don't write checks." I said, "Are you saying I'm old?" I went over to Kendra's Sunday school class a little bit ago, and Maddie was over there, and I talked to her, and she was. I was just wanting her to talk. I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Maddie Grace Dean." I looked at her a minute, and I thought how cute she is. I thought, you know, you got the prettiest hair. I'd love to have some hair like that. And she said, "Well, you've shaved all yours off." She doesn't understand. I didn't shave it. It just kind of, it went its own way. Okay. Heard a guy saying, "You know you're getting older when you got more hair coming out your nose and your ears than you're out the top of your head." Now, some of y'all get that later on. It's going to take you a little while. You got your Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter number 17. Let's look at the first verse. We're going to read verse number 1 through verse number 9. And then we're going to go down to the 16th chapter and read just a few things. But I want to try for just a little bit to talk on this subject this morning, the importance of being in your there. Now, if you've got a pen, if you write in the Bible or you highlight in the Bible, as we read this scripture, I want you to pay particular attention to that word there. It's the importance of being in the place that God wants you to be. And now let's look at this scripture. This is talking about Elijah. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.' And the word of the Lord came unto him, unto Elijah, saying, 'Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.'" Now, I want us to go back and let's look at the 16th chapter and let's start reading in the 28th verse. Elijah began to speak and he told the people, as far as God told him, "You tell the people there's going to be a drought. There's not going to be dew, not even dew to wet the ground or rain." Some of you understand what it is to have a survival pack. Now, I doubt there's any ladies know what I'm talking about, but some of you men might have what we call a go bag. Now, ladies, that's not an insult. Please don't, I didn't mean that way, at all, okay? But y'all know what a go bag is? Okay? Well, a go bag is something that a lot of men have, and it makes them feel like they're ready for the end of time or something. I got one. It was given to me. It's got a roll of duct tape in it. It's also got a piece of plastic in it, and you dig a hole, and you put the plastic in the hole, and when the dew comes and it lands on the plastic, it goes down to the bottom, and you can actually collect just enough water that it might wet your lips or even sustain life. Some other things in there, purifiers and things for water. But Elijah said, it's not even going to be dew or rain. You ever pay any attention to that? Who can do that? Who has the power? I tell you who does. God in heaven. He's the one according to what they sang the song, "He's the master of the wind." And by the way, I actually downloaded that, figured out how to do it in my iTunes this week before I even knew she was going to sing that song. He's the one that can make the clock go backwards. He's the one that commands the stormy winds. And Elijah said, it's not going to rain. Why? Let's go back to the 28th verse in the 16th chapter. It says, "So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho, and he laid the foundation thereof, and Abiram and the firstborn set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun." Here's what's happening. Ahab was a wicked, wicked king and walked away from God. Scripture says more than any before him, and then if that wasn't enough, he went to a people that God said stay away from, and he took himself a wife who was a wicked, wicked woman. She caused him to turn away from God and to follow Baal, and then he built a grove. And here's what a grove is. A grove is a shrine that they set up to worship. Now, I want to tell you something that you may not know and understand, and this is not trying to be difficult or rough when I say this, because people don't know this, but have you ever heard anybody use the term knock on wood? You know where that came from? It came from worshiping groves. Because people would set up a tree that was a shrine, and they would hang things on that shrine or that tree that were objects or gods that they worshiped, and they would go knock on wood to awaken the evil spirits. That's where that came from. And I know you didn't know that, but now you do. "Unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of them." So here's Elijah, the man of God, and here's what's difficult sometimes for the preacher. Is the preacher got a message from God. And he said, "You go and you deliver the message that I'm giving you to give to these people, that there's going to be a drought. And it's not going to rain." And you can go over to the New Testament. Said Elijah was a man subject to like passions like you and I. And he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years. It didn't rain. And it said he was subject to like passion like you and I. What was the thing about Elijah? Elijah was spoken to by God. He was following God. And he delivered God's message. He's no different than you and me according to what the Bible says. And God spoke to him. Said, "You go to deliver the message." And he said, "Then I want you to go down here by the brook." And he said, "When you get down there, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Now here's what's important. It's important to follow God. Important to follow God. And it's important to be in the place that God wants you to be. I want to be in the place that God would speak to me more than I want to be in this place that I want to be. I spoke to Alan just a little bit ago outside, and sometimes we talk about preacher stuff, you know. And what I was talking to Alan about, and I've come to this place in my life that, you know, just to be honest with you, I used to be afraid that God was going to tell me that I needed to go somewhere and do something. God called me to preach when I was in the 9th grade, and I was afraid that he would say, "You got to go here, you got to go to the mission field, you got to go pastor this church, you got to quit your job and do this, or you got to go over there and do that." Do you know today that I am more afraid that God will not speak to me than that he would? Because I don't want to be in a position that I myself am making the decisions about the rest of my life. What do I know? And I told him this, and I'll tell you this. God's not called me to China or I'd be there. God's not called me to Guatemala. He's not called me to Honduras. He's called me to preach to America, where you have to preach for a solid year hoping that you can see one saved. A man that believes God and believes the Bible, you get addicted to preaching on the mission field when you stand up and preach the gospel and people come to the altar and by the hundreds. Why? Because our hunger as a man of God, as a person of God, as a Christian, is to be in the presence of the movement and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we love that song she sang. He's the master of the wind. But God told him, you speak the word, and then you go down there by the brook. Here's the thing about doing God's work. Sometimes God will give you the message, and you think, well, I'm here to deliver the message from the Lord. People are going to come out, and they're going to be glad to see me. They're going to thank me for coming. They're going to shake my hand. They're going to go out the door. You ever had anybody go, your brother Allen, to go out and say, brother, I appreciate that message. And you say, I know you didn't. I know you didn't. I just assume, you know, and I tell you what, I want God to speak to your heart. It's not about me. It's not about what I think. And it wasn't even about Elijah. It was about God. You know why the message came? Because God loved his people. The people of God had been led away by an evil king, and they were worshiping a false god. Rather than praying to the God of heaven, the one that led them out of the land of Egypt, the one that blessed them to be able to enter into the promised land, they set up a grove and they hung these little shrines on it. And they'd go knock on it, thinking it had the power to help them. I didn't know it was going this way. I'm going to come back to this in a minute. This is what Brother Larry Hart calls a rabbit trail. Y'all remember the story of Saul, the first king of Israel, stood head and shoulders above every man, and he served God. And the scripture says the power of God came upon him, but there come a time in his life that he had drifted away from God, and rather than getting on his face before God, what did he do? He went to the medium of Endor looking for direction. Let me tell you something, Christians. Christians has no business getting their palm read. They have no business messing with a tarot cards. You have no business shaking up a bag of bones and pouring them out. You have no business touching a Ouija board. Because you're inviting evil into your house. Our direction does not come from this world. It does not come from the lesser power. It comes from the higher power. And I want to tell you, there are only two powers. And there are only two peoples. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. And there are two powers. And what amazes me is how people can say they worship the devil or they believe in the devil, but they don't believe in God. Do you not understand that the devil was a created being that simply rebelled against God? He has no power except what God gives him. And one day the Bible says that power will be stripped from him. So here's Elijah. He's preached the word of God. And God says, go down by the brook. He said, get thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. A period of time where the man of God sat in the wilderness waiting for God to speak. He did not have a congregation or a church that he went to preach to every Sunday. You see, this was a place that God had chosen for him for this time. And number one, it was the place of God's divine knowledge. You see, if you're in your there and you're in the place that God wants you to be, that's the place that God is going to speak to you and he's going to speak to your heart. That's why it's so important that we obey God and follow God and not try to do our own thing. Now, could you imagine being down by the brook? He's in the wilderness there. Would he ever say, God, have you forgot about me? I'm down here in the wilderness. I'm by the brook. I haven't seen anybody. I haven't heard from anything. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what you want me to do. But God said, abide by the brook. You see, if we are in our there, we're in the place where God can give us knowledge. And here's why. We must first believe that God knows more than I do. You ever had a plan for your life? You know, you set out, you write it out, it's retirement, it's the future, it's whatever. But what about God's plan? What if God interrupts our plan? I also told Brother Allen this morning, I said, Brother, I'm to the point in my life that if God says there's a church, you got to go, you got to go. I'm ready to go because there's no other peace other than fully serving God. The place of God's divine knowledge. And here's something else. Being in your there is the place of God's divine provision. You see, because he went and obeyed God, God provided what Elijah needed. You see, God knows what we need and he knows how to provide it. He does. There's one place where it says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He told him to go down there in the 17th chapter in the 4th verse. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, you know, I begin to think about that. And I was sitting yesterday just sitting there talking to the Lord. And I can imagine the ravens flying over. And, well, what are they going to bring? You know what the Bible said they brought? Bread and meat. Now you think, well, a bird, it's going to kill a squirrel and drop it. And, you know, Elijah, he's going to have to do the rest. How about this? Grandma's cooked a cornbread pie, and she stuck it up in the window, and the ravens just fly down and pick it up. Oh, I don't believe that. It said bread. God provided what Elijah needed. And the reason that God provided what he needed is because Elijah was in his there. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Well, you go down and you understand that there was a period of time that Elijah was supposed to be by the brook. And sometimes this is the way God works in our life. There was a time when the brook dried up. There's a lot of us been through that in our life. We've had a season of life and we've had something that it was working and we liked it and we didn't want it to change. But all of a sudden the brook, it dried up. It's when you're in a job and you don't think you can get away from that job, but all of a sudden it's dried up. You have no choice. You have to do something different. You know, and we're concerned and we're afraid and we don't know what the future holds. But God does. God knows what the future holds and he's provided something else. God can provide something else sometimes where there is nothing else. In the 9th verse, Elijah, when the brook dried up, the Lord told him, he said, you go down to Zarephath. And I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. Now, can you imagine, this is what I do sometimes. I said, well, God, it just don't look like it's working out. I've got to do something. And you know what I do? I begin to start trying to develop a plan. I'm going to try to figure it out, you know. I'm going to try to see how I can make this work. Do I have enough funds to make this work? Do I have enough ability? Do I have enough education to make this work? When's the last time we come before God on our face and said, God, we can't make it work? But we need you to help us have the understanding and the ability to know how to follow you to the place that you want us to go. And God says, go over there. And you say, well, God, I'm not going over there. It's dead over there. There's nothing over there. You know when Elijah got to the widow of woman's house? He spoke to her. Imagine walking up in the yard saying, God sent me here. And she said, well, I ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing to give you. In fact, I'm gathering just a few sticks so that I can cook a cake of the last piece of cake that I'll ever be able to cook. And me and my son, and we're going to eat it and we're going to die. But because, here's something to understand. If God is working in your life and you're obeying God, the place that he sends you, it's going to be an impact on other people. And Elijah went to that place and he said, I tell you what, you just go make a little cake and give it to me, and then you make one for you too. She says, well, I ain't got any. She must have knew God because she was obedient. And as long as he was there, you know what, this is the way that we want God to be. We can store it up or we can trust God to provide it. Every time that she went, there's just enough. Do you know that every time I stand up here, and I mean this with all of my heart, church, every time that I stand and preach, I want God to provide just enough. Because I don't know how to do it. I don't have the ability in myself. In your life, as you're seeking to follow God, if you're in the place that God wants you to be, trust God to do what only he can do. You know, sometimes I struggle. I'm just like you. And you know what? I'm just like Elijah. Remember, New Testament, Elijah was a man subject to like passions such as you and I. Yet he prayed it wouldn't rain. For 3.5 years it didn't rain. He prayed again, it rained. Was he different than you? No. Sometimes I remember being in Bible college and we were talking about divinity, and one of the young men stood up and he started talking about Moses and he started talking about David and he started talking about Joseph. I said, whoa, divinity is Christ. Moses was just like you and me. Now, I hope none of y'all buried anybody in the sand after you killed him, but Moses did that. I hope none of you have ever went and took your neighbor's wife and after you were caught, you had their husband killed, but David did that. But they're standing before God. You know why? Because they're just like you and me. They believe there was one God and they followed him. That's why the scripture said, speaking of David, in comparing him to his son, Solomon. It said, Solomon walked not before the Lord with a perfect heart as did his father David. We know David had sin. Why did the Bible say that about David? It was because David never, ever, ever worshipped a false god. That's what you'll find about him. Even when he was wrong. I was listening to that song. I love this song. Kidder, we're going to learn this song. It says, he has. I've never had the test come and pass it every time. But he passed. I've never said I wouldn't ever again. But he has. That's Elijah. But as long as Elijah was in the place that God wanted him to be, it was the place of God's divine provision. Let's move on. It's also the place of God's divine protection. You know, if you study the Bible, Ahab was looking for Elijah and looking for Elijah and looking for Elijah. And he had people looking for Elijah and he could not find him. Why? Because the man of God came and brought the word of the Lord and they wanted to kill him for it. Wasn't the man of God's fault. Can I tell you this? If God's allowed you to be under a preacher or in a church or anywhere where the word of God is brought, don't pick the preacher apart. Amen. Thank God for sending the message. It tears my heart up to hear people get up and start saying something. Well, he didn't quote that right, or he didn't say that right. I'm a human being. What's the Holy Spirit said to you today? It was a place of God's divine protection. See, Ahab could not touch Elijah because God had hid him from them. They looked for him. But Elijah was under the shadow of the Lord's wings. Psalms chapter 17, verse number 6 to 9 says this, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech, and show thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that savest by thy right hand them that put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them, keep me as the apple of the eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. You know, Psalms 36:7 says this, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." There's another reference in Psalms 91, verse number 1 through 5. But here's the thing to understand. If we're going to have the protection from God, it's going to be because we're in our there. And the enemy can't touch us until God removes his hand. Have you ever thought what it would be like to stand before the world and God have you there in a place to where you're his witness? How fearful. How challenging. How it must have been for Elijah when he stood before the people and they were all worshiping false gods, and he said, "God's going to send judgment." There wasn't a bunch of deacons gathering around him saying, "Brother, we're praying for you." There wasn't a bunch of people that called him and said, "We really appreciate what you said today." Have you ever read about Jeremiah when God called him as a prophet? And he told him when he called him, if you'll just read those first three chapters and get a hold of the call that was on Jeremiah's life. He said, "Go and speak to them." And he said, "Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." I want to tell you what loving somebody really, really is. And I believe this. Loving somebody is telling them the truth. I heard a preacher one time, he was preaching a message about loving them to death. You know that you can compromise with sin, tell them it's all right, pat them on the back till they bust hell wide open. You tell them the truth and they get mad at you. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. I don't know. You go on a little farther and you see how Elijah dealt with it. I ain't got time to cover it all. I got to move. But Elijah, he found himself later under a juniper tree and he was crying out to God. And he said, "God, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. They're trying to kill me. Why don't you just take my life?" But you know what God did? He sent angels to minister to him. What's another thing about being in your there? Very important. Being where God wants you to be. The last one. It is the place of God's divine direction. You know, if you're where God wants you to be and you're listening and you're attentive to the Holy Spirit, I've had people ask me, "Well, how do I know the will of God? How will I know the will of God for tomorrow? How will I know the will of God for the rest of my life?" Here is the answer. Do the will of God for the next 15 minutes. Do the will of God for the next hour. Do the will of God for today. Do the will of God this week, and if you start following the will of God, you will find that it's easier to get on the path of the direction of the will of God. Amen. The reason people can't find and listen to the will of God is they get out of control in an instant, and rather than repenting and falling before God and saying, "Lord, help me today," they wonder why God's not doing miracles in their life. Elijah's down here looking up at the birds. "Well, here comes my dinner. Drinking out of the brook till it dries up." He's not living in the Taj Mahal. Sometimes the place that God wants us, just to be honest with you, may not be a comfortable place. But if you're there, you know what, God? He can direct you. 1 Kings 18:1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." You see, there is where God spoke to Elijah. There is where God gave Elijah direction. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." It's my life verse right here, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, if you look a little farther, you find that being in your there was a place of power. See, Elijah prayed it didn't rain, it didn't rain. He raises the widow's son in the 17th chapter in the 24th verse. He reproves Ahab in the 18th verse, and you know, he stands before him, and all the people were looking for him. He said, God has sent me to him, and they said, he'll take your life. He said, God sent me to go deliver this word. And when he gets there, he delivered the word. Now let's look at this, and we'll try to move. Let's consider, you say, well, what does all this mean to us? What about the practical application of the scripture? Do you sometimes feel down or heavy, and does it take more energy to do things? Have you lost interest in things that you used to care about? You might be feeling depressed. Now, there's some critical folks who are going to say, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't feel that. Well, you know, Elijah did. Okay? Here's some spiritual medicine. Remember King Saul? He got away from God and he asked for David to come and play the harp to him because it soothed him. Remember Jonah? Needed to go to Nineveh, but he didn't obey God. Remember Joseph? He was in Potiphar's house, falsely accused, found himself in prison, sold by his brothers. How about Paul? Imprisoned. He called himself the Lord's prisoner. You see, sometimes being in your there, just to be honest with you, is very, very tough. But I'd rather be where God wanted me and have the approval of God on my life than be where I thought I needed to be and not have God speak to me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says this, godliness with contentment is great gain. And in Proverbs 17, 22, the scripture says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. How many times I've heard people say, I hate my job. I hate where I live. I hate my neighbors. I hate my circumstances. I hate my car. It broke down on me again. Sometimes I have to do this myself. I have to stop and ask myself the question, is this where God wants me to be? Am I in my there? You see, if this is where God wants me to be, and it's here is my there, then here's something that I think we need to understand. It should settle our soul. We say, well, I'm down by the brook of Cherith. I don't like it. I'm in the prison. I don't like it. I'm not in control. I don't like it. If I'm where God wants me to be, then I can be there and be at peace with God, because God wants me there for this time, for a reason, for a season. And if God wants me there for a reason and for a season, then I can trust that God will provide for me there. I can trust that God will protect me there. I can trust that God will give me direction and lead me from there. And if I will stay there and trust God and walk with God and not walk in my own way, but in all the ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And what that means, that word direct, it comes from a Hebrew word, yashar. It means to cut a path. It means that God will get in front of you and He will make a way. You ever heard the song? He makes a way when it seems there's no way. All through Elijah's life, he did that. And if I'll trust him, then I will grow in my relationship with God if I stay in my there. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I needed this message. I needed God to speak to me, because living in America today, you serve God, you trust God. You don't let this culture change you, pull you, make you change. They call it the cancel culture. They've got all kind of names for it. They've got bills that they want to pass to where that'll make us, you and I as Christians, have to agree with whatever the moral convictions are of the government. Breaks my heart. What, you know, you say, well, you know, it's rough today. Imagine what it was like in Elijah's day. Preach the word, he said. Go tell them. Ahab's a wicked, wicked, wicked king. But God's still God. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet for just a minute, if you would. We're going to ask Brother Jeff to come. We're going to sing a song that I'd asked him to sing. You say, well, I don't really know, you know, what God wants me to do with this message this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are you walking where God wants you to walk? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do? Have you surrendered the path of your life to be the person that God wants you to be? You say, well, I really don't like where I'm at right now. Have you got before God and asked Him to give you some direction and understanding to settle your spirit so that you can walk through this place, through this storm, to the other side so that God can help you learn through it, grow through it, and be everything that He wants you to be? Remember, He's still God. He is the master of the wind. And I'll tell you from a personal standpoint, I can't speak for anybody else, I want God's hand on my life. I do. As Brother Jeff sings this morning, if you're here and God spoke to you, and you don't, if you know Jesus as your Savior, sometimes you just need to come praise Him. Sometimes you just need to worship. Maybe you need direction. Maybe if you're like me, maybe sometimes you just need God to move into your heart and life and settle your spirit. Maybe you don't know Christ at all. Maybe you look at us and you think, well, you know, I don't know what all that Jesus stuff is about. He's God. We're not. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. God spoke to your heart at all, and you'd like to pray, would you please come?
It's my desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. But often I fail Him and cause Him shame. Oh, but it's my desire to live for Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus brought from to where I am today, oh, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can have this world, its wealth and its riches. I don't need its fame, 'cause it's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who's lost, has lost their way. All you know, 'cause one day I was lost, but oh, thank Jesus, it's my desire to live for Him. No, oh, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, oh, then you would know. You would know why I love Him so. You can have, take this world, its wealth, and all its riches. I don't need its fame, 'cause it's my desire. Come on, is it your desire today? It's my desire. You know, I've tried it all. There's nothing out there better than Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. We appreciate that, brother.